Hello and welcome to Sandy by the Sea, a veritable slice of cultural life on the island at the end of England. I'm James Sandy, and in this programme, I explore the finery of the Hampshire Guitar Orchestra with Derek, Rich, Viv and Caroline. I learn that all is not what it seems when it comes to guitar size, and I hear their refreshing take on modern song, from the middle of the road to the bazaar. And if that's not enough, we take time to chat about uniforms and the Birdman of Bognor. Well, I'm very pleased to be joined by members of the Hampshire Guitar Orchestra, and the main man in the orchestra, if you like, is Derek Hastad, who's the musical director. Derek, welcome.
Thanks very much.
And tell us something about the orchestra, because it's an unusual orchestra in some ways.
It is. It's unusual in the fact that we play four different sizes of guitar. It came out of an ensemble group that I used to run, still do run, which is an informal ensemble for adults. We had some very keen players and we formed the Hampshire Guitar Orchestra, formed it in 1999, and we began by purchasing different sizes of classical guitar, and that gives us a range of pitch which is very different from an ordinary guitar, and it means we can tackle music that you don't normally hear played on guitar.
Okay, so tell me a bit about the music, because that's some of the arrangements that you do are quite different, aren't they? Not perhaps what people wouldn't expect.
They are. I mean, the one thing that we try and do is play music that will introduce the audiences to what the guitar is capable of, and as a result of that, we try and play music that they're already familiar with. And I do all the arrangements for the orchestra myself, and we cover music that goes back as far as the Renaissance. We've got things by Elton John, Katie Melua, and a whole range of sort of film and TV theme tunes in between.
And what was it that brought the orchestra, if you like, to that approach? What made you sort of take that way of playing? Because a lot of orchestras would just routinely play versions of music written for guitar, perhaps.
There's not an awful lot of famous music for guitar produced by famous composers. Mm-hmm. So there are some famous guitar music like the Concerto de Aranjuez, for example, that everyone's familiar with. But none of the main composers actually ever wrote for guitar, so there isn't the range of repertoire to pick from unless we borrow mainstream music.
And tell me something about your membership, because obviously you're a Hampshire-wide group, and you started, I think, just from Havant and then and grew it from there, but you've got members from all over.
We have. In fact, we've got members from Surrey and from Dorset as well, and one who's just joined from Wiltshire. It began, as you say, with local guitarists, because they were the people that I knew, they knew me. But as we started performing around the area, then other guitarists became interested in what we were doing. And over the years, the membership stayed between 12 and 15 all the time. But we've still got some of the original team, and some of them are with us today. And we've also got some new players. The most recent joined just a few months ago.
And how long yourself have you been playing or plucking away at the guitar?
Oh, and if I tell you that, you'll look at how old I am.
We can have a go,
I started when I was 12, and well, I'm 57 now, so that's how many years I've been playing.
Wow, so you're quite good. Would that be an estimation?
I think I stopped improving a long time ago, but I play for fun, and I play for the challenge of entertaining audiences.
That's great. We've got some other members of the orchestra in the studio with us, and Rich, I'll come to you next. Tell us about how you got involved in the orchestra.
Well, I was just walking down the high street of Winchester one day, went past a music shop, and fancied getting a guitar. I'd always thought it'd be a good idea to pick up a guitar and have some fun. And when you get home with a guitar, there's no way to really get into guitar unless you go and join some sort of adult education or some other group.
It's a difficult instrument, isn't it? Because it's something that you think you can play intuitively, but actually it requires a lot of practice and a lot of technique. I've had a go myself. I have to say I've been having a go for about 4 years now and getting somewhere. But it is a difficult one to kind of to be fluent at, isn't it, I think?
Yes, I think it's something where you can pick up and play and get started by yourself. But in order to really progress and get anywhere, you really need to be taught, I think. I found it very difficult to get on without being taught. So going on to some sort of adult education, as I say, gave me an opportunity to learn to read music and just play things that are more and more difficult.
I think someone said to me once that the Burt Whedon book only goes so far, I think. And guitarists hopefully will know what that means. Viv, let me come to you next. How did you get involved?
Hello there. Well, much the same as Rich, really. I sort of started in 1995, so I'm getting on a bit. And my daughter had got a guitar for Christmas, just a little kid's one. And I thought, oh, I know, I'll go and take some lessons and I'll have this cracked in 6 weeks. But here I am.
still plugging away, yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically how, I mean, and I was a complete beginner and sort of turned up at one of Derek's evening classes. So.
And went from there.
Did.
Strength to strength.
Yeah, mostly.
Mostly. Caroline, we'll come to you. Well, tell us about your involvement with the orchestra. How long have you been playing?
Well, I started as a child, actually, about 10, 11. Had lessons for a few years.
I lived only about 10 years then?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I lived in Kent, and when we moved away from Kent, then I stopped having lessons and just picked it up again every now and then, you know. And then one day I was reading the local paper, Portsmouth Evening News, and I saw a write-up of Haygo. Mm-hmm. In the news, and I thought that sounds really fantastic because I've always just played on my own solo instrument, and I'd really like to play with other people. I had no idea what they were like. I hadn't heard them or anything, and I plucked up the courage. I think I sent you an email, Derek, didn't I? And then you gave me a ring and followed on from that. So
and there is a kind of a momentum, if you like, about playing in a group, isn't there? This kind of it gives you a bit of focus, gives you a bit of discipline that perhaps you can't get sort of sitting on your own at home in your bedroom.
I do need encouragement, otherwise I won't. Yeah. I don't think I'll progress.
Derek, tell me something about the different sizes of guitar that you mentioned earlier, because I think most people's kind of understanding of a guitar is it's a wooden one or a wooden one with some bells and whistles that plugs into the mains.
You're absolutely right. That is people's standard perception. And in fact, most guitarists too. The guitars that we use are specially imported. They're made in Japan. We had them imported. We have four different sizes. The main one's called the Prime guitar. That is just, in fact, a classical guitar. But above that in pitch, we have the alto guitar. We have four altos in total in the orchestra, normally play about three at the same time. They look like a three-quarter size guitar, but they're a full-width neck, which means that in terms of adult hands, they're the right size for adults to play. A little bit shorter, much, much higher in pitch. So they're the ones that play the tune. The prime guitars do the harmony underneath. Then we have two bass guitars, which are about 2 inches, 5 centimetres bigger than an ordinary guitar. They give us a certain amount of depth. They're quite an agile instrument. They correspond, if you like, to the cellos in a symphony orchestra. And underneath those, we have the contra guitars, which are the double bass, if you like. And they are 4 inches or 10 centimetres bigger than an ordinary guitar. And they give us the really deep bass notes.
And what kind of difference does that variety of instruments make to the sound?
It makes a tremendous difference. An ordinary guitar has a working range of 3 octaves, so that's about 36 notes. We've got a working range of nearly 5 octaves, so it gives us access, if you like, to a whole lot of music that just wouldn't fit on an ordinary guitar at all.
And you said that they're quite specialist guitars. Are there sort of adaptations that you make to the guitars once you've got them from Japan, or?
No, the whole concept of the guitar orchestra was really brought to light by a Japanese professor of music, Dr. Hiroki Nirabori, who actually designed and specified different sizes of guitar. And out in Japan, they often have these community orchestras with 100 or 200 players in. So the sizes of the guitar and the role they play is pretty well established.
So with the folks around the studio, just tell us which types of guitars that you play. Caroline, what's...
I sort of dabble in three sizes, really.
Okay.
Mostly the prime. I've been playing the bass quite a lot just lately, and occasionally I'm allowed to have a go on the alto.
And Viv?
Yeah, same. I play the prime mostly, but on the odd piece I'll dabble with the alto. It's not an easy one to play, actually.
And is it the case that you've had a go on each of the sizes and each of the styles, or?
Yes, just as the music demands it. We've swapped them around a little bit, haven't we? So, yeah.
And I'll ask this question, it's probably heresy, but are there other string instruments that you play and have played in the orchestra, or is it strictly guitars?
We've teamed up with a flute player once,
okay,
which was a really, really nice sound. But in terms of the instruments we normally play, it's just guitars. They have their own sort of characteristic tone quality, their own characteristic volume, and their own characteristic sort of style of playing. Once we've got the different sizes, then we can achieve the sound we want without resorting to other instruments.
And there are, I think, a number of other guitar orchestras across the United Kingdom, and I think you've done some work with the Cambridge Guitar Orchestra, is that right?
Yes, that's right. And that's a long, long and convoluted story, but in fact I taught one of their players many, many years ago when she lived in the area. She moved across to Cambridge and carried on learning guitar and became a guitar teacher. We then met up at a local guitar festival, and I went across to see them when they were playing in Brighton. as a result of meeting their orchestra, we invited them over to play down at Portsmouth. So their first concert in this area was at St Agatha's Church back in 2002. We had a wonderful time. We played half a concert each, and as a result of that, we were invited up to Cambridge the following year, and it's been a home and away match every year ever since.
And are there other, I guess there are other orchestras that kind of are in touch with you, or is there, I'm imagining there's an annual massive guitar festival somewhere.
Yeah, imagine away.
Yes. Oh, okay, okay. Not yet, but there could be.
There could be.
Portsmouth could be the place for that. Okay. And do those orchestras tend to play similar, have similar repertoires, or are they, do they vary in terms of what
they're very
playing?
Different. We team up with Cambridge, and they describe themselves as a classical guitar orchestra. Most of their playing is classical music. They do some light jazz. Mm-hmm. Whereas we do sort of middle of the road and the slightly more bizarre pieces. And as a result, when we get together for a concert, there's a real mix for the audience.
Rich, perhaps I'll come to you and tell us something about the range of concerts that you play and some of the gigs that you've done recently, because you do a variety of different venues and a variety of different places.
Yes, we do all sorts. A lot of the performances are raising money for charity, so we'll be contacted by a local group that are trying to raise money. They'll organise the concert, we'll go and play, and we'll probably raise somewhere between £500 and £800 for a local charity. Sometimes we've done things a little bit more unusual, perhaps go down to Bognor and play out on the seafront during the Birdman of Bognor, for example.
Now, this is something I saw on your website, and I was slightly baffled by, and I believe that the Birdman of Bognor is now the Birdman of Worthing, is that right?
I'm not sure it's quite as straightforward.
Oh, is it not? Okay, right.
The last I'd heard is it moved across to Worthing because part of the Bognor Pier fell into the sea.
Yes.
When they shortened it, they declared it wasn't then far enough out into the sea to jump off safely. Moved across to Worthing, but the last I heard that Worthing were keeping it and Bognor were also doing their own version as well.
Okay, so we could have a Birdman of Southsea.
I don't see why not. The pier's sitting there waiting.
I'll make a note of that just in case you know, I'm at a loose end at a weekend, perhaps. Viv, tell me something about some of the concerts and gigs that you've played in recently. Is there a memorable one or a favourite one recently?
Well, we've done two, is it now, or three at the Richmond, and it's the Star and Garter Society for World War II veterans, and that's always actually a really, really special gig. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not necessarily many people there, but, you know, these people have spent, you know, since they've been injured in this home, and they love it, us going across, and it's really special, isn't it?
Caroline, how about you? Have you got a favourite from...
A similar sort of thing, actually. Usually at Christmas time, we go to a sheltered housing place down in Portsmouth, and play carols, and, you know, and it's the audience participation, I think, that we enjoy, in the heckling, and so it's a very different, it's a much more relaxed, but it's just as much fun as playing. We've played Portsmouth Guildhall, and that's, you know, that's a completely different atmosphere, but just fun all the same.
I always like to ask musicians and creative types if there's a dream venue, an ideal venue that they would like to play. Some say the Albert Hall, the Royal Albert Hall. Others say Fratton Park. Is there an ideal place that pops up, think, we'd love to play there? It's a big question.
It is. I've never thought of that before, actually. The Albert Hall would be fantastic. That would be the ultimate for me, I think.
Okay. Derek, how about you?
Yeah, I think I'd go for Royal Albert Hall. We've done the Guildhall twice, and that was really, really great fun. It would be nice to go one step further.
Viv, you got...
No, Albert Hall. I just think
it's
that
very popular.
Would really lend itself to us, wouldn't it? Because of
Rich,
the design of it.
Rich, are you going to lend weight to that?
Well, I think the sort of prestigious concerts are always a big event for us, we always rise to the occasion. But I would say the ones that I've enjoyed the most, as the girls were saying earlier, is some of the ones like the old folks' home. There's only 20 or 30 folks there.
More kind of intimate, small scale.
I would add an off-the-wall thing. I'd quite like to do Bestival or something like that. You know, that could be that could be fun. Can you imagine it?
something a bit different, yeah. And you've got a couple of concerts, a couple of gigs, if you like, coming up. There's one in, I think, Salisbury on the 15th of October.
Yes, that's our next one. We tend not to play over the summer because of holiday commitments. So our next one is October the 15th, and that's raising funds for, it's called The Listening Place, which is a counselling service for people who need a listening ear. They need funds to help them run their service, and we're going across there to actually see what we can do in terms of raising funds.
Great, and you've got also, I think, at the beginning of December, something coming up in Copner in Portsmouth.
Yes, we have. Now, that's at St Cuthbert's, and that's quite interesting because we played down there a few years ago. St Cuthbert's Church has been completely gutted and rebuilt. And on one side, they split the church into two, and on the one side, they've turned it into a community area. They've got a doctor's surgery, preschool nursery, and at the top of that little block there's a domed room, and we played in the domed room, which has got really odd acoustics if you get right into the middle of it. It's like being smacked over the head with a frying pan. But we sat around the edge of the walls, and it was a really good concert, and they've invited us back now that the other half, the church itself, has been renovated, and they've promised that we'll be the first concert held in the new church.
Great. Great, we'll look forward to that. We'll keep our eyes peeled for more information on that. You do a lot of concerts, obviously, and you raise a lot of money for charity. I was really impressed with the very long list of charities that you've raised money for and been able to make donations to. I think you've raised over £50,000 in total.
It is about £53,000 at the moment,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When we first started, we shared our concerts with my other ensemble group, which I said was the small one from which this branched off.
Yes.
And that particular group chooses their own charities. So some of the charities that we raised funds for many years ago were chosen by players, maybe because of family or friends who've used a charity, they want to repay that debt. But most of our recent concerts have been charities which have approached us and asked us to put on a concert specifically in aid for them.
As musical director, which is a grand title, I have to say, what would you say is the most difficult aspect of managing an orchestra? What would you say there?
Managing my players, I think.
Crowd control.
Yeah. It is crowd control.
It's crowd control. And obviously, that, you know, in an orchestra, there's a commitment and there's a discipline in terms of, you know, just showing up for the practices. And I think guitar is an instrument that demands a great deal of practice, isn't it? Because it's not very forgiving to those that or occasional players. So tell me, you practice every week, I think, or every...
No, we practice every fortnight.
Every fortnight, okay.
Because of the large amount of travelling that we have to do to get to the rehearsal, we practice once a fortnight. We break all over the summer. In terms of practicing, we each have our own individual parts, exactly the same as the symphony orchestra. Where possible, we've got sound files on a members area on our website so that people can actually play their practice as if there are other people in the same room. But yeah, the practice is a lonely pursuit, but as you say, the guitar's not an easy instrument. It takes two hands to make one note, so we do have to rehearse quite hard.
When I was looking at your website, which I said earlier I was very impressed with, it's a very good website, and just remind folks where to go if they want to find out more information.
Yes, the website is haygo.org.uk, or you can Google for Hampshire Guitar Orchestra.
And you've got lots of stuff on there, on YouTube and audio clips and lots of things that you've done, but also there are, I suppose, tools, if you like, that people can use to improve their that technique, and there's even some free music and some free support stuff that they can download.
Yes, I run three different websites concerned with music, and they're all linked together, but we have free music, certainly, and as you said, there's a YouTube channel, so there's a link to the YouTube channel. I think one of the biggest difficulties we have in explaining what we are to people is that people just don't know what a guitar orchestra is, and that's why we've put some clips up on YouTube showing us in concert so people can hear what we do.
Viv, if I can start with you, what would you say to someone that is thinking about picking up the guitar or walking past the guitar shop and isn't quite sure of what to do next? What kind of advice would you give to them?
As far as playing with another, yeah, like Caroline said earlier, there's the temptation for guitar just to go and lock yourself in a room and be really insular with it. Mm. And it's probably the one instrument where people don't necessarily usually get together. So, yeah, find a group, join it, that's the way to go.
And go from there. And Caroline, you'd sort of, you'd echo that.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. It can be quite a lonely pursuit. I mean, enjoyable in itself, playing solo pieces, but nothing as exciting as playing with a group.
What about, I'll ask this question, the electric guitar is a very popular instrument. Are there any moves afoot to introduce the electric guitar as a fourth size instrument, or is that a sacrilegious thing to say?
No,
I'm getting hand signals now. There we are.
We wouldn't. We team up, as we said just now, with the Cambridge Guitar Orchestra, and they do from time to time use an electric guitar to increase their range, if you were. But I don't myself actually like the fact that it has a different sustain and a different tone quality to guitar. I don't feel it adds anything. I think it takes over and pushes the rest of the guitars into the background.
And also, you said earlier, I think the emphasis of very much of the orchestra is to take bits of music or songs that perhaps aren't played on acoustic or, you know, on the classical range, if you like, of guitars, and, you know, kind of reinterpret them. So I guess there are songs that would work best on electric that would be pointless playing on an electric if you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of how we choose our repertoire, quite often over the summer holiday, if I'm going away on holiday, I'll take a box of CDs with me and just play through the whole lot and seek inspiration. I think my conversion rate between listening to music and finding a piece that I like and I'm happy to arrange is about 1 in 100. So we don't actually play everything that we come across, only selected items.
Okay. And tell me about some of the tracks that you are playing at the moment in terms of your set list. What kind of things have you... I've noticed on the website there's a clip, I think, of The Bangles, I think Eternal Flame, which is perhaps not a track you would associate with a guitar orchestra. I mean, there are some quirky things in there, aren't there?
There are, but then again, we're playing to an audience who is coming along partly to see a guitar orchestra and partly to support a charity.
Yeah.
So they don't want something that's too esoteric and known only to guitarists. In a typical concert, we will do a whole variety of stuff, and we try to play about 20 pieces, and we'll try and make sure that all 20 pieces are different in some way from each other.
I think that's an important point. I think with our concerts, they're not just reciting music, they're entertainment, they're real entertainment to the audience. People don't come to our concerts and just sit and listen. Mm. They spend a lot of time laughing and enjoying themselves, particularly between the bits of music. But also, you know, because of the range of music and it's familiar music, they enjoy the music. Mm. They've heard it before and they recognise it and get into it.
Caroline, do you have a favourite from the current sort of set list that you enjoy playing, perhaps more than other pieces?
Ooh,
I'm sure you enjoy all of them.
I do. It depends. I mean, Eternal Flame you just mentioned, I really enjoy playing that. I get to play the alto on that as well, which is good fun. And also Danza Cubana. I play the bass on that, and it's a fantastic bass line. It really is. So, you know, you get the odd bits, don't you, that you really think, I just love that, I want to play it again and again and again. But I do enjoy playing all of them.
Thank you. And I've noticed from some of the pictures on the website that there's a strict dress code, I think, in the orchestra. There is a uniform of sorts.
There is.
And can you just describe that for? Because obviously, radio not being a visual medium.
No. Well, you know, we sort of debated a long time, didn't we, about the what people should wear, and we just thought, actually, well, we're just sort of white shirt, blouse, black trousers. You can get those anywhere, and a nice little red bow tie if you're a man, and a scarf if you're a lady. So we thought the red would be quite sort of striking.
Do you have, as I used to have at school, a kind of spare PE kit bag where, you know, people turn up?
Person.
You're the person, are you?
I am. In my bag, at any concert, I've got two shirts, two ties, I've got everything, sewing kit. Well, some of the things you can't even talk about. Cufflinks.
Excellent.
You've got the things I've been asked for. Well, I've usually got them.
So, if people want to find out more about Haygo and about the orchestra, obviously we've mentioned the website, but you are sort of open to bookings, aren't you? You can be booked or approached, as it were.
Yes, we can. We're especially interested in raising money for charities. We charge a fee which really reflects just the cost of getting us all there. And what we say to the organisers is that once they've paid us our expenses, then every extra penny that they can raise is for the charity. And that's how we've managed to raise so many thousands of pounds in such a short time.
Excellent. So people can contact you directly through the website to arrange those kind of things?
Yes, they can, yes.
Excellent. Okay, well, it's been great to talk to you all. Thank you all very much for your time. I really appreciate you coming in to talk to me. If people want to find out more about Hampshire Guitar Orchestra, Derek, remind us just again of the website.
It's www.haygo.org.uk.
Excellent. And you can find all the information about the group, how to get involved, and also some of the concerts and gigs that are coming up later in the year. So I'd urge you to do that. And thanks once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sandy by the Sea is written and presented by me, James Sandy, and is a King of the Buttons production for 93.7 Express FM.